This is HPR episode 2316 entitled, May of NUV5RVHF/UHF Handset Part 6, and is part of the series, QSK, HAM Radio. It is hosted by Mr. X, and is about 16 minutes long, and carries a clean flag. The summary is, an in-depth series about the May of NUV5RVHF/UHF handheld transceiver.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by AnHonestHost.com. Get 15% discount on all shared hosting with the offer code HPR15. That's HPR15. Better web hosting that's honest and fair at anhonesthost.com.
Hello and welcome, Hacker Public Radio audience. My name is Mr. X. As usual, I'd like to start by thanking the people at HPR for making this service available. If we all contributed to the show, we'd have more shows than we know what to do with. The show is provided by the community for the community. It's actually very easy. They've gone to a great deal of effort to streamline the whole process, and it's really quite easy. It's The hardest bit I find is getting around to writing the show notes. It's just a matter of picking up a microphone and hitting the record button. I'm sure you must have something interesting that we'd all love to hear. Okay, here I'll attempt to cover the menu options of the Bofeng UV5R handheld transceiver. I'll cover some of the options in detail. The more obvious ones I'll just briefly cover. I'll highlight any options I don't understand and can't get information on. The options I know little about will likely be either Bofeng specific options or options that are not really relevant to the radio amateur. If I remember, I'll try to include the radio announcements of the menu selection.
Menu. Squelch.
Okay. Menu 0 Squelch. Squelch level 0-9. 0-9. When you watch someone talking on a walkie-talkie on the TV, and perhaps on the other end someone stops talking, and you briefly hear a kerchunk noise, that's the squelch circuit action quietening the receiver. Without it, you would hear a continuous loud hissing sound from the radio that would quickly become annoying. From Wikipedia, in telecommunications, squelch is a circuit function that acts to suppress the audio output of the receiver in the absence of a sufficiently strong desired input signal. Squelch is widely used in two-way radios and radio scanners to suppress the sound of channel noise when the radio is not receiving a transmission. Squelch can be opened, which allows all signals entering the receiver's discriminator tap to be heard. This can be useful when trying to hear distant or otherwise weak signals. The squelch level values 0 to 9, 9 being the maximum squelch and 0 being a minimum, i.e. fully open, the default value is 5. Squelch mutes the speaker in the absence of reception. When the squelch level is correctly set, you will hear sound only while actually receiving signals. This significantly reduces battery current consumption. The Bofeng squelch circuit. The UV5R doesn't have a bad squelch circuit, it's merely adequate. The first problem it has is that it tends to make a kind of popping sound when opening and closing, which is not that noticeable when using the internal speaker. However, it becomes far more noticeable and annoying when using the supplied covert earpiece. A lot of thought has to go into designing a good squelch circuit. Ideally, you want it to instantly snap open, when a true signal is received, and to snap shut reasonably quickly when a strong signal suddenly stops. However, if a faint signal is present that momentarily appears and disappears, the circuit should stay open that bit longer, rather than opening and closing, and missing bits of the conversation, which is what the UV5R does, right near the edge of reception. All is not lost, however, in this situation, as a squelch can be momentarily forced open by holding down the side MON button until you are finished listening to the weak signal, whereupon releasing the button silences the receiver. Again, it's not that the squelch is terrible on this radio, it's just not the best, but remember, for the price I paid of just £20, it's pretty damn good. Menu 1, frequency step. You can choose from 6 frequency steps, starting at step 0 and ending at step 5. So the first step size is 2.5 kHz. Next one you can choose up from that is 5 kHz. One above that, 6.25 kHz. One above that, 10 kHz. One above that, 12.5 kHz, which is the one that's used here in the UK for 2 metres and 70 centimetres amateur use. And finally, 25 kHz. So in other words, when you use the up and down arrow keys or whatever, the radio will move by that frequency step with each subsequent button push. Remember, that's only it's only relevant when you're in VFO mode, or frequency mode, as the radio calls it. Power, or menu 2, TXP. Transmit power, and there's option low and high. Low is 1 watt, high is 4 watts. Transmitting draws the highest current from the battery, far more than in reception, so for this reason it's well advised to use low power when possible, as this will greatly increase the available battery time. No indication is given when on high power, but a small L appears in the top left-hand side of the display when on low power. A shortcut key to switch between low and high power is available by momentarily pushing the front panel hash key.
Menu. Save mode.
Menu 3. Save mode. Battery save. So you've got a choice of off 1, 2, 3, and 4. Off is obviously no battery save mode. 1 is a ratio of 1 to 1. 2 is a ratio of 1 to 2. 3 is a ratio of 1 to 3. And 4 is a ratio of 1 to 4. Okay, so I'll explain that. Okay, although far less battery power is used when the radio is in reception mode, it still uses power. Further battery saving can be made by making use of this option. When the radio is sitting silently on a single frequency, it can be made to momentarily switch off the receiver, further saving the battery. The values 1, 2, 3, 4 relate to the ratio between how long the receiver is on and how long it is off. Setting 1 has a 50-50 duty cycle, which means the receiver will momentarily switch off and then on for the same time interval. I don't actually know what the interval is, but let's imagine it's 5 seconds. This means the radio will be listening for 5 seconds, then stop listening for 5 seconds. With increasingly high numbers, the radio remains off for longer, with more possibility that you may miss a call. Using this facility is a trade-off between increasing battery life and possibility of missing a call. Note, this option does nothing if the radio is either scanning or the squelch is open.
Menu
Vox, that's menu 4. Vox operation, TX 1 to 10 or off. Okay, this adjusts the sensitivity of Vox feature if enabled. The lower the setting, the louder your voice has to be in order to engage the transmitter. According to Wikipedia, in telecommunications, a voice operated switch, also known as Vox or voice operated exchange, is a switch that operates when sound over a certain threshold is detected. It is usually used to turn on a transmitter when someone speaks and turns it off when they stop speaking. It is used instead of a push-to-talk button on transmitters. the circuit usually includes a delay between the sound stopping and the switching direction to avoid the circuit turning off during short pauses in speech. Unlike manual push-to-talk, PTT, operation, Vox is automatic. The user can keep his or her hands free while talking, but Vox also has some significant disadvantages that explain why PTT is still common. Most Vox circuits have a sensitivity adjustment, but unwanted and sometimes undetected Vox triggering can still occur on background noise, heavy breathing, or a side conversation. Conversely, it may not activate when desired on speech that is too weak. The Vox in a two-way radio can also be triggered by the loudspeaker carrying the other side of the conversation. This problem can be minimized with an anti-Vox feature to decrease Vox sensitivity when the receiver is active. Transmitters have a short but finite activation time that may clip the beginning of phrases. Vox uses a hang timer, typically 1 to 3 seconds, to remain engaged during brief speech pauses. This means that the last several seconds of each transmission are always silence. The user of a Vox-activated half-duplex radio must wait for the timer to expire before he or she can receive again. Channel bandwidth, or menu 5, WN, and that has option wide band and narrow band. Wide is 5 kHz wide and narrow is 2.5 kHz side. This sets the maximum transmit frequency deviation. Okay, so you might be wondering what I mean by deviation. Here we go down the rabbit hole, because in order to understand that, you must first understand the term FM, or frequency modulation, as this is the type of modulation used by this radio. And in order to understand that, you must first understand what the word modulation means in this context. According to Wikipedia, in electronics and telecommunications, modulation is the process of varying one or more properties of a periodic waveform called the carrier signal, with a modulating signal that typically contains information to be transmitted. In telecommunications, modulation is a process of conveying a message signal, for example, a digital bitstream or analog audio signal, inside another signal that can be physically transmitted. Modulation of a sine waveform transforms a baseband message signal into a passband signal, like frequency modulation. In telecommunications and signal processing, frequency modulation, FM, is the encoding of information in a carrier wave by varying the instantaneous frequency of the wave. This contrasts with amplitude modulation, in which the amplitude of the carrier wave varies with while the frequency remains constant. In analog frequency modulation, such as FM radio broadcasts of an audio signal, representing voice or music, the instantaneous frequency deviation, the difference between the frequency of the carrier and its center frequency, is proportional to the modulating signal. Frequency modulation is widely used for FM radio broadcasting. It is also used in telemetry, radar, seismic prospecting, and monitoring newborns for seizures via EEG, two-way radio systems, music synthesis, magnetic tape recording systems, and some video transmission systems. In radio transmissions, an advantage of frequency modulation is that it has a larger signal-to-noise ratio and therefore rejects radio frequency interference, better than the equivalent power amplitude modulation AM signal. For this reason, most music is broadcasted over FM radio. So in summary, the narrow and wide setting adjusts the maximum amount the radio will move either side of its centre frequency on transmit. On this particular radio, it has no effect on the receiver. On more expensive radios, the receiver bandwidth may also be changed to match the transmit deviation. Setting deviation inappropriately may cause interference to other stations, generally one channel either side of your operating frequency. It may also cause your signal to be momentarily dropped by a repeater, as these can have very sharp filters that chop off any signals that stray too wide of the centre frequency. Generally speaking, setting this option to wideband will make your transmitted audio sound louder. If the station at the other end receives a distorted audio from you, then set this to narrowband. I found the transmitted audio on my Bowfing to be better than the quiet side, even when it's set to wideband. From the user manual, in the USA, FCC Part 90 radios are mandated to switch over to narrowband communicating by January 1st, 2013, meaning all commercial users. This does not affect amateur radio operators. Okay, so I think that's about enough for now. So that's up to option 5 on the menu system. Hopefully you didn't find it too boring. Okay, that's about it for this episode. Hopefully you haven't found it too boring. If you want to contact me, I could be contacted at mrx@hpr@googlemail.com. That's mrxathpr@googlemail.com. So until next time, thank you and goodbye.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.